If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I know that you have your oven set to go off at 11:30 so that when you get home you can take it out at a quarter to 12. And I know that it's already a quarter after 11. Hopefully your oven's working this morning. Matthew chapter 14, the verses given 22 to 33 raise a question. What did they see? You know how we see things differently. We see things differently based on our opinion of things. We have opinion of things based a lot of times on what has happened in our lives, perhaps our upbringing, circumstances in our lives, in our world. And it all causes us to see things differently. We see in our world today that people have a different view of how we dress, what is right and what is wrong. I see this thing or this area of dress reveals deeper issues. Changes that are taking place in the area of dress shows many times, most of the time, what is going on within the person. Now, it could be, it's a possibility, I'm not denying that it's a possibility that some people hide behind their dress to cover up what may be inside. But for the most part, people express themselves through their dress. You know, I see things differently on the Christian headlines recently of Moody Institute changing their policy. I see things differently than what even a lot of people in Christendom see it as. Some people see it as a change from legalism to a simple trust. I see it as a step in the wrong direction. But you see, we see things differently. This passage of Scripture shows us that people see things, maybe they see into things what aren't there. They think they see something that's not there, or they're not seeing what is real. You'll find in this passage of Scripture that Jesus has sent his disciples away, that they had had a tremendous experience. And I can't help but wonder, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here on this, but I can't help but wonder that this is the pattern that Jesus has for his followers, for his disciples, that there are grand and glorious times followed by some strengthening times. Some things that will test us, some things that will prove to us to pay attention to more than what is just the surface, taking us to the deeper elements. I believe that that is what Jesus is wanting to get across in this passage. Verse number 2 tells us, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." I wonder, you know, my mind wonders, with all of the different translations that we have, some of them are reasonable, some of them are acceptable, some of them are good, some of them we just ignore completely, but I wonder sometimes why there's certain words used for certain words, you know, English words for the Greek words. But in this verse, we find a word constrained. And Jesus, or Matthew tells us that Jesus constrained them. He really pressed them to get into the boat and to go. I believe that that's a key element of this passage. That section, that phrase, lays a basis for everything that is yet to come. You may not see it that way. Let's take a look at it. Because in verse number 26 then, it tells us that as Jesus came walking on the water, that they were troubled in their spirit. They had something going on inside because what they saw was a spirit. Have you ever seen a spirit? Have you ever thought you saw a spirit? If you saw something that you thought was a spirit, I dare say that it sent a tingle up your spine. It raised the hair on the back of your neck. I don't know what the circumstances would have been in your particular situation, but I think within myself that if I were to see something that I thought was a spirit, that it would raise a little bit of tingling in my spine and the hair on the back of my neck. I think that I would just get a little bit of a chill, not from being cold. Let's go ahead and say it, but from fear. That's what it tells us here, that they thought that they saw a spirit and they cried out for fear. It is a spirit. It is a spirit, they said. Remember. Now, I know that it's easy for us to remember because we have it in black and white in front of us. We have it in printed text. It's easy for us to remember. But let's remember what these men had experienced, what these men had seen with their eyes, what they had experienced with their hands. They had a tremendous move of the divine right in front of them, right through their fingertips as they handed out bread and fish and how that was multiplied. And then they heard with their own ears the constraining voice of Jesus Christ saying, "I want you to do this and to go there." And so in the midst of the daily life, in the midst of that hour of their lives, they saw something that caused the tingling of their spine, a raising of the hair, as it were, on the back of their neck. They cried out with fear. They thought they saw a spirit. Now, the scripture also does tell us what they did see. Verse number 30, it tells us that they saw the wind boisterous. Now, the scripture there says that he, speaking of Peter, but they all saw it. They all knew that the waves were beating against the ship. They all knew that the wind was blowing pretty bad. They all knew that they were in a fearful situation, circumstances that was troubling. Whatever the circumstances are, they saw their troubling circumstances. Now I say they saw their troubling circumstances because you and I aren't in a ship out on the sea, especially out on the Sea of Galilee, where the winds can come up very quickly and cause a lot of problem to the boat and the fish or the fishermen or the people on that boat. But it's whatever our circumstances are, the troubling aspect of our present circumstances. Sometimes we have those, don't we? It may be something like a flat tire somebody had this week. Well, those circumstances that are troubling. It could be like something somebody else experienced this week where they had to stop and spend a little bit of time talking to a police officer. Miles from home. And I asked the question to the police officer, can I go on or do I need to call somebody? You know, there's troubling circumstances that come in our world. It may not be those two particular things, but whatever it is that you have faced, we see those circumstances. And in the midst of those circumstances, we see what it is doing to us. We see how the wind is beating against us. We see how it is coming after us. They thought they saw a spirit. They did see the circumstances that were troubling, but let's quickly take a notice of what they should have seen in the midst of what they thought they saw and what they did see. What should they have seen? If we jump up to verse 32, it tells us in verse 32, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Now, again, just for a side note here, imagine the power, maybe the chill that went through those people as that happened. Jesus and Peter coming into the ship, and the wind ceased. "And they that were in the ship came and worshiped." What they should have seen what should they have seen? Now we see in that later part of that 33rd verse, "They worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So before these troubling circumstances came, they saw God's hand provide and multiply. At the end of these troubling circumstances, they saw the boisterous wind cease, and it caused them in their heart to say, "Yes, of a truth, truly thou art the Son of God." So what is it that they should have seen? They should have seen the nugget of forewarning. They should have seen the nugget of promise. Now I realize again that we have the printed text, but they didn't have the printed text, but they did have the hearing. They did have God speaking to them. They heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And just as easy it is for us sometimes to ignore the printed text as a nugget of forewarning or a nugget of promise. We forget to listen for the voice of God or to allow the voice of God to register in our heart. You see, Jesus said to them, he constrained them, "This is what I want you to do." You say, "Well, what is that? How is that a nugget of forewarning?" The nugget of forewarning there, or the nugget of promise there, is that when Jesus asks us or tells us to do something, there is not a single circumstance in our world, there's not a single circumstance that can come to us in our life where we then are hidden from his view. Did you get a hold of that? Jesus said, "I want you to get into the boat. I want you to go to the other side while I stay here. I'm not going with you." But what he is saying in an unspoken way, that while you are doing what you are doing, following me, I will be paying attention to you. Now I get that. I can prove that when you flip over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6 and verse 48. It tells us in Mark's account, "And he saw them toiling in rowing." I could get a picture and show you the Sea of Galilee. I could get a picture or have that picture include that hillside where Jesus fed the 5,000 plus and all that had taken place and all of that wonderful detail of that picture. I don't really think that if it was me standing up on that hillside or that mountainside looking out into the Sea of Galilee where these disciples probably were at this particular point, that I would be able to tell that they were struggling. I don't know that I would be able to see them. This is superhuman. This is beyond human. This is divine. This is God. In the midst of those circumstances that was overwhelming to the human, overwhelming to the person, and troubling to the soul, troubling to the spirit, Jesus was still watching and he saw them toil in your rowing. He sees the toil in your rowing. the circumstances that come against you. The one who sent them away would still be with them. The one who called them to do what they were doing would still be watching. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The one who made us knows us. The one who sends us sees us. What did they see? They thought they saw a spirit. They did see the winds boisterous. They should have seen the hand of God in the midst of it all. Because when He sends, when He calls, He follows with His eye. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And you can even praise God, your oven just now went off. You're fine. Praise the Lord. Darren Gilmore, it's good to see you slip in here this morning. Would you dismiss us in prayer?